Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Lamed. And we begin five lines from the top. Umi Omar Rav Shimon ben Elazar Hachi. The end of yesterday's share, we had a braisa where we said, Ba'atanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion is that you can be ma'arev with a shear for a chola or a zakein that is smaller than the typical shear that is normally needed for an Erev of Shtei Sudos, because a sicker person or an older person doesn't need as much. And likewise for a glutton, the Rav Osson, we said, if they normally would take five times as much as a normal person, nevertheless, the error for them would be smaller, the amount that a normal person would have. So that's what we brought down yesterday, and now the Gemara is questioning that. Did Rav Shimon ben Elazar really say that? Umi Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar Hachi, did Rav Shimon ben Elazar really say that? Vatanya, we have a mission in all those that disagrees. And there, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Og Melech HaBoshon Pischo Kimloo. Now, when we refer to Og Melech HaBoshon, we don't literally mean Og Melech HaBoshon. We mean a person of the size of Og Melech HaBoshon. Now, Og Melech HaBoshon was a giant. Now, the Midrashim say that he was a huge person. He picked up an entire mountain. It's a euphemism for a large person, a very, very large person. Now, the Mishnah in Arlos talks about Nebuch, if a person passes away, so the Tumah has to go out of that house. So which exit will the Tumah go out will determine certain pathways of Tumah that could have ramifications for all the utensils that are in the other rooms. So in general, if you have a passageway that is 4 by 4, 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, that's considered a significant passageway that the mace could come out. In this situation, when you're dealing with Og Melech HaBoshon, that's a very, very large person, so then this Mishnah and Arlos tells us that the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar is you can't just say, well, normally 4 by 4 tvachim is enough. So here too, if there's a passageway in 4 by 4 tvachim, that's the exit way that the tumah will go out. And we say, sof tumah lotzei, the tumah will go out in that direction. And all the other smaller passageways aren't going to be of a concern because the tumah is not going to go out that way. But for Og Melech HaBoshon, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says in this mission in Arlos, he says, Pischo Kimloo, which means, Rashi says, Lahatzil al Shar Psochem, in order for you to go and say that the other exit ways will not get Tumah, so it has to be the size of Og Melech HaBoshon. In other words, it has to be a very large passageway to go out. If you only have 4 by 4 Tvachim and you're dealing with a giant, so then you can't fit him through a 4 by 4 Tefach area. So therefore, all the passageways are going to be potentially a problem with Tumah. Now, you see here that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says you look at each individual person, as opposed to in the Braisa that I said at the beginning of the Shia, for the Braisa from yesterday, he said, no, you, for the glutton, for the big person, you can take the regular size of a normal person. So there seems to be a stira within the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Now the Gemara says, Abaya, according to Abaya. Now Abaya was the one that brought down the Braisa that we said is Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion. So some have the Girsa, the Omer Abaye, not that it's a question on Abaye, Abaye is just giving us the answer. In any event, Abaye says that there, in regards to the Mishnah, all those, Hechli Abed, what choice do you have? That's not a theoretical question. Oh, how much food should we put out there for a Suda? That's a theoretical question. In the Mishnah, in all those, you're talking about taking a person, Nebuch, who passed away, and taking him out passageways. So therefore, you physically have to get him out. You can't theoretically get him out. So therefore, Hasam, in the Mishnah, all those, Hechli Yavi, what's a person supposed to do? Hadomi Nidame? Should your person go and chop up the body, Rashi says? Inaschu Levarin? Should he go chop up the body and then Vinafke, and then bring the body out? Of course not. Nivela Meis. So therefore, you have to have a passageway that will allow the larger person to be taken out. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah Nalo says, for Og Melech HaBoshon, you need a Pesach Kimloa. You need to have an opening that can allow a person of his size to be taken out. But when you're dealing with a theoretical construct, how much is considered putting food out, that shows that that's your Mokum Shvisa, you need 2 sudos, so then the 2 sudas that work for a regular person could work for the glutton as well. So therefore, there's no stira. The Beis Medrash, they ask further, Yiboyluhu, Peligi Rabbanan Alei, the Rav Shimon ben Elazar Alo. Do the Chachamim argue with this opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says that normally it's enough to give the Rav Osson just the sudas of a Bein Adis Shokol Adam, or not? Do they argue with him or not? So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring your raya, that they do argue with him, because the Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rav Yochanan, Rabba Bar Chana said to Rav Yochanan, that for Og Melech HaBoshon, Pisco B'Yar Ba'ah. Rabbi Bar Chana in the name of Yochanan says that for Og Melech HaBashan, you don't need a huge exit way, but the Pesach would be enough, the regular Arba Tvachim, by Arba Tvachim for a regular person. So clearly, they argue and say that you don't need the larger Pesach, Pisco Kimlo. So Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Hosom the Ikop Sochim Kanim Tuva, where Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan that you only need Arba Tvachim, that's because you had, let's say, five different exit ways that you could go out. And one of them was 4x4 tvachim. The others were 2x2 tvachim, 3x3 tvachim. They were smaller. So in that situation, where you had multiple passageways, and only one of them was 4x4 tvachim, so mistama, when you're going to have to open up one of them to make it wider, to allow the larger sized person's body to go outside, so then you're going to go and open up the largest one that you have. If one of them is 4x4 tvachim, so then a person should go and open up that one. But it doesn't mean that they reject Rav Shimon Elazar's idea that Pisco Kimlo for the actual taking out of the dead person. The Vaday ki komarvach, bahu komarvach. So in this situation, when Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said in the Rav Yochanan that you use the one that's Arba Tvachim by Arba Tvachim, that's just the one that you're going to choose to go and make larger. So there's no steer over there. There's no reason to think that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar. You're allowed to use raw meat when you make your Eruv. There are some people that eat raw meat, right? Today we call it steak tartare, and there are people that eat raw meat, a very, very limited amount of cooking done to it, or totally raw, and therefore that can count as a suda for the shtei sudos that you need for an Eruv. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya said, "Ma'arvin bebeitzim chayos. You can take raw eggs and go and use them as well for your Erev." Again, Chazanim will tell you they have raw eggs. People who sing, they'll tell you they eat raw eggs. It's good for their throat. Again, people eat raw eggs, and therefore, that is considered also something that you can put in the Erev. Bakama, how many raw eggs are needed? So now the girsa that we have is Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Achas. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says one raw egg. Now it's in parentheses. So the Marshal says that you delete the word Achas, and you really should read this as Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that Sinai Omar Shtayim. Sinai, which is a term that we use for Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef had an encyclopedic knowledge. We have always the machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. So Rabbi is called Oker Horim. He was very, very sharp, and he was able to make unbelievably sharp distinctions. And Rav Yosef had the encyclopedic type of memory. He knew everything. So therefore, since everything comes from Har Sinai, so we give the euphemism, we give the name to Rav Yosef, as he was known as Sinai. So we have the Oker Horim and Sinai. Those are the two types of Rabbonim that we have. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, in the name of Rav Yosef, Sinai Omar Shtayim, that you need two eggs. Others have, this is a machlokas, there's one egg versus two eggs. Others say, no, the Rav Yaakov Yitzchak said that Sinai, Rav Yosef holds that you need two eggs. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, I know the Ben Amazon, Mutu B'mayim B'chulei. If a person says, I make a vow that he will not, he makes a ned that he will not have Mazon, so he's allowed to have Mayim and Melach, but he can't have anything else. So the Gemara says, Mayim U'melach Hudlo Ikre Mazon, that Mayim and Melach, they're not called Mazon. Implication being, ha, kol mile ikri mazon. Everything else but mayim melech, which you're not allowed to have, so they're all called mazon. So let us say that this is a problem. This seems to be going against statements that Rabbi Shmuel made in the Gemara and Brachos. The Rabbi Shmuel, the Aretavayu, there they said in the Gemara and Brachos, ein mevarchem bari mine mezonos. You're not allowed to make a bari mine mezonos on anything, mezonos, something that is zan, el achamesha samina bavat. Only on the five grains. You have wheat, you have barley, you have spelt, rye, and oats. So those five grains, that's all you're allowed to go and make a bar mitzvah on. Now, the Gemara tells us, this seems to go against what we just said. Here we're saying that everything but salt and water are called mizonos, and yet, Rav Shmuel said, you only make a bar mitzvah on the five grains. What about everything else? So the Gemara says, we already slugged them up. Rav and Shmuel were already proven wrong. Below was vinei chodozimna. So we already showed in the Gemara and Brachos that they're not correct. We make a bar mitzvah on other things besides the five grains. So Gemara says, okay, so you shlug them up once, shlug them up again. So what's wrong if we shlug them up again? So Amar Rav Huna says, no, this isn't actually a shlugging them up. The person said over here, not that he was nodim in Amazon, but Ba'omer kol hazon olai. He said, I have made a neder against having anything that is zon. So mayim umelach hu delo zayne. They don't give you some sort of sustenance. Ha kol mile zayne. But everything else gives you some sustenance, even if it's not going to be filling you up. Bori minim zonos is filling you up, but zon means it just gives you some sustenance. It's some way going to fill you up. V'amar Rabba Bar Bachana, and further supported this, Rabba Bar Bachana said, Ki avi azilna basrei de Rabbi Yochanan, lamecha peri de gineosar. We had in the Gemara in Brachos also that the peros of Ginosar were these unbelievably fantastic, fabulous peros that were so sweet and delicious and large. And after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, those peros diminished. In any event, so Rabba Bar Bachana, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, once went with his Rebbe to go eat the fruits of Ginosar. It's a region in Eretz Yisrael near the Yam Kinneret. Ki havinon be meya, when we had 100 Talmidim there, have a menaktinon lekol chad v'chad asora asora. So when we had 100 Talmidim, each of us would take 10 baskets. Ki havinon be asora, if we only had 10 Talmidim, have a menaktinon lekol chad v'chad meya meya. Each of us would take for him 100 fruits. I said baskets for it, so 100 fruits or 10 fruits. So in other words, they gave him 10 people carried 100, so you'd have 1,000, or 100 people carry 10, so you had 1,000. Either way, we brought in 1,000 fruits. Now, b'chol me'ya minayu, each 100 fruits, have a machzik lehu, tzona bas tloso savi. Each 100 fruits needed to be carried in a basket, a tzona, that could hold 3 saw. That's how big these fruits were, that the basket could hold a large amount of fruits. It only could hold 100 fruits in these large baskets. In other words, these fruits were huge. The Havi Ochelhu Lekulu, and Rabbi Yochanan himself, elsewhere the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yochanan was a Baal Bos, he was an obese person, so he probably was able to consume quite a bit in general. But here he was able to eat 1,000 of these fruits, Havi Ochelhu Lekulu, and he ate them all up. And afterwards he would say, V'omar Shvuasa, I make a Shvua, the Lo Toim Li Ziona. I did not taste anything Ziona. Rashi explains, Lo Ochalti Lesova, I wasn't satiated. And I'm hungry. So now the Gemara says, really? He said he didn't taste anything? Rashi says that in the Gemara in Brachos, it says, Ziona Sokadaitach? Really? You're telling me he didn't taste anything? So he just ate 1,000 fruit. And therefore, Ema Mizona. What he was saying was that he didn't get satiated, that this doesn't have the status of being Mazon, even though it's Zon. So therefore, there is no stira here, and this isn't the Tiyuft over here from our Mishnah to the sheet of Rav and Shmuel, even though they were slugged up in the Gemara and Brachos in a different fashion. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Shvua Shlo Ochel Kikar Zu. If a person makes a Shvua, Rav Huna says the name of Rav, that he will not eat this Kikar. So this Kikar Zu. So Ma'arvin Lo Ba. So then you could still use this as an Eruv, because he doesn't have to eat it. It just has to be able for him to get benefit from it. And if he said, I won't eat this, it doesn't mean he won't get benefit from it. So somebody else could eat it theoretically, and therefore there's no problem. If the person says, Kikar Zu, a lie, however, he makes a shvua that he will not get any benefit from this Kikar, so then, Eim Arvin Loba, then you're not allowed to go and use this for his Eruv, because now he's getting benefit from it. That's what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav. More questions, Rav Huna. Meisvei, wait a second, we have a braisa that says differently. The Braisa says, "I know there min hakikar. If a person goes and makes an edit that he will not have a kikar, ma'arvin lobo, you're still allowed to use it for his eruv. Now, my lav de'omer lai, isn't this nether we said I will not get any benefit from this kikar? This kikar is also to me, and yet he's allowed to use it for the eruv tichumim. Kashan Rav Huna marav." Shmuel says, "No, lo the omar zu. He didn't say I will not get any benefit from this lai. It's also to me." He said, "No, I will not eat this." But he's able to get hanoah from it, therefore it's not a problem. And in fact, he says, Hochanami Mistab, Rav Huna says this makes sense. Because keep on reading this braisa. The Tani Sefer says at the end of the braisa, Emasai, when is a person allowed to use this for an Erev? Only, Bizman Shomar Shvua Shlo Etamena. I will not taste it. I will not eat it. Implication being, Avol Omar Olai, but if he would say, I will not get hanoah from this, this is also to me, then my, what would be the halacha? No, he wouldn't be able to use it as an Erev. Therefore, Hochanami Deima Arvelo Ba. Therefore, you can't use it as an Erev. So that's what Rav Huna says. Mora says, if that's really so, Rav Huna, you got another problem. Ihochi, if what you're saying is correct, so then keep on reading the Braisa. It says next, Adetani, instead of saying next, Kikar Zu Hektish, Eim Arvelo Ba. If there is a Kikar that is Hektish, a person says, this Kikar is Hektish, right? So now, he's not allowed to use that for an Erev as well. Why? Lefish ein ma'arvin be'ekdesh, because you're not allowed to use hektish stuff for your personal enjoyment. So instead of giving me that case, you should have said, liflog v'lisnei bidida. You should have given me the two sides of the coin by saying in the following case. When did I say, if you make a neder that you're able to use it for an eruv, b'medvar mamurim d'amar zu, if you say zu, that I'm not going to eat this piece, implying that I can get hanav from it, and therefore I can use it in an eruv. Avo amar alai, but if I said alai, instead of giving us another case of hektish, that's a totally new case from left field, so give us within the same case. If I say zu, that I can use it for an eruv. If I say alai, eimar v'loba. So, question on Rav Huna, why did the Braisa continue in that way? The Braisa should have said over here that Bamedvar Mamurim rather than giving me a new case of Hektish. So Rav Huna answers, Amalach Rav Huna, no. Ella, my, Kolecha Domar Alai, Marvin, according to you, if I'm wrong, so then anytime it says Alai, you'd be allowed to use it for an Erev? So then Kasha Reisha, at the beginning, where I showed you that when I say Zu, it's allowed. If I say Alai, it's not allowed. How are you going to learn that? So that they were Gemara answers, no, that's your wrong, Rav Huna. Chisur Masav Achitani, there it's missing pieces, and this is the way you have to understand it. Hanoder mina kikar, at the beginning of the Brice, it says if you know there that you're not going to have a kikar, ma'arvin lo bot, you're still allowed to use it for an Erev. And this is true, v'afilu amar a lie, even if the person said a lie. Why? Because nasik omer shvua shaluat tamena. When you say a lie, it's you're saying, I will not eat it, I will not taste it. So therefore, you can still use the bread. So that's how they would get around it. Bottom line is, it's a kashu of Huna. So the Gemara doesn't give a teretz to this, except the Gemara says that Rav Huna, you're right, he's going to be slugged up by this brisa, but he has another brisa to support himself because he holds like a different tana, right? If you have a brisa slugging up Rav Huna, he's an amora, he's in trouble. But if he has a different tana to hang his hat on, so then he's not in trouble. So the Gemara says here, Hu dama kari Eliezer, he holds like the tana of Eliezer. Where's that? Another brisa, the tanya. We learn another brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shavua Shalo Ochal Kikarzu. If a person makes a shrua, I will not eat this piece of bread. So then, he's allowed to get hanof from it. Ma'arvin lo ba, you're allowed to go and make an eruv with it, because he's just not allowed to get hanof from it himself, eat it himself, but he's allowed to get hanof from it. But if he says, kikar zu alai, if he says, this kikar should be also to me, so then, ma'arvin lo ba, you're not allowed to go and use it. And that's exactly the shita of Rav Huna, that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer the Tana says. More questions that though. Really? Did Rabbi Eliezer really say that? Well, me, Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, Hachi. Did Rabbi Eliezer make this distinction that Rav Huna said he did? For Tanya, we have another Braisa. Zaklal. This is the rule. Adam osir atzmo bi'ochel. A person is allowed to say something is osir to him. A certain food is osir to him. And if he does, so Marvin Loba, you're still allowed to go and get hanav from that food. You just said you're not going to eat it, but you could get hanav from it, and therefore you could use it for your Erev. However, but if the food is a lie, you're not allowed to get any benefit from this food, so then ein ma'arvin lo ba. Now this is exactly what Rav Huna said, but this Tana over here is not Rabbi Eliezer. Along comes Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kikar zu alai, if you say that this food is also to me, this piece of bread, this kikar, is also to me, so ma'arvin lo ba. Rabbi Eliezer says you are allowed to go and make an Erev with it. Kikar zu, hektish, ein ma'ar v'lo ba. It's only if you make it hektish that you can't get benefit from it. Lefish ein ma'ar v'lo bekdeshos, because you're not allowed to go and be ma'arv with hektish. So how can you tell me that Rav Huna says that this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? Here's this other brisa that says that's not the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So more answers, trei tanoim, v'aliv the Rabbi Eliezer. You're right, you have two different opinions as to what Rabbi Eliezer said. So one opinion is like Rav Huna said, and one opinion is like we just brought down now. So there are two conflicting opinions as to what Rabbi Eliezer's shita is. Then we quote our Mishnah again. The Mishnah said, Ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayim v'chulei. You're allowed to go and have a nozer, who's forbidden, of course, to drink wine, to have his Erev be made out of wine. So the Gemara says, Masnis and the Loki Beis Shammai, our Mishnah obviously cannot go in accord with the opinion of Beis Shammai. Why is that? The Tanya. Because we learn in the Braisa that Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai holds, Eim Arvin Lenozer B'yayin, that you're not allowed to use wine for a Nozer, because of course the Nozer can't drink it, and the Erev has to be able to be drunk or eaten by the person who it's made for. Likewise, Uli Yisrael with Truma. Beis Shammai's opinion is that Yisrael can't use Truma, because Yisrael can't eat it. The fact that a Kohen can eat it, the fact that a non-Nozer can drink the wine, according to Beis Shammai, is irrelevant. And our Mishnah is like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel Omrim, Ma'arvin L'Nozer B'Yayin. A Nozer can use wine for his Eruv, because even though he can't drink it, somebody else can. And likewise, Yisrael b'truma. Yisrael can go make his Eruv with truma, even though he can't eat it, the Kohen can. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Iyatem modim, don't you agree to us? Return to the Yom Beis, Shema Arvin Legodol b'Yom HaKippurim. Don't you agree that if a person on Yom Kippur wants to go to another shul, so he is in his Mokum Shvisa on Kol Nidre, he's in the shul over here for Kol Nidre, but he wants to be able to go to the shul in the next town to Davenila over there. So he has to make a Erev Tumim. So you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So how is he going to make an Erev Tumim with Shtei Sudos? He can't eat them. So as long as he has the Shtei Sudos there, a Katan could eat them. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, don't you agree with us that you're allowed to make an Erev Tuchumim for Yom Kippur? And Amrulahen, Beis Shammai responds to Beis Hillel, yeah, Avol. Avol means Emes, Rashi says. Yes. So Amrulahen, so they continue and ask them, if that's so, so Kishem Shem Arvin Lagod, the Yom Kippurin, came Arvin Lanazir, be Yayin, will Yisrael be Truma. So Beis Hillel says, ergo, if you can go and have the Gadol use the Erev that a Katan could eat, even though the Gadol can't eat it on Yom Kippur, so then the Nazir should be able to use the wine, because even though he can't eat it, somebody else can drink the wine. And the Yisrael should be able to use the Truma, because even though the Yisrael can't eat the Truma, the Kohen can eat the Truma. So again, why do you, Beis Shammai, say that you can't do that? So the answer is, Beis Shammai says, Hasam ika su'udah ha'ru'uyah mibod yom. The difference is, because guess what? If you wanted to, you could eat the Erev Tchumim on Yom Kippur, not on Yom Kippur, but during the Bein HaShemashos period of time. You could eat it right at the very start of Yom Kippur, when during the Bein HaShemashos period of time, that's when it takes effect. So it takes effect then, and you can eat it then, and it's still not also yet of eating on Yom Kippur. It's only a suffix. Here, in our case, Nazir can never have the wine. The Yisrael can never have the Truma. You couldn't eat this for even 1 second. That's the difference between the two. Now, Gemara says, both of these opinions certainly allow a person under certain circumstances, at least even according to Beis Shammai, to go and use food to establish your Mokum Shvisa, to establish your new place for your Erev Tchumim. Kiman de lo Chananya. This opinion that you can use food is not like Chananya. What did Chananya say? Detanya. Chananya Omer. Chananya's opinion is, Chananya is one of the Tanoim. Kol Atzlan Shel Beis Shammai, the opinion of Beis Shammai, lo hayu modim be'erev. According to Chananya, Beis Shammai doesn't agree with the concept of food for an Erev Tchumim. What do you have to do if you want to change your Mokum Shvisa? Achiyotzi mitoso, you have to take out your bed and put it over there. The whole clay tashmishav, and you have to take out all the utensils that you normally live with in your house. If you put them out 2,000 amas away from your house, so then you can go and say, I've changed my mokum shvisa. So if you go and put your bed, the whole clay tashmishav, lusham, that works. Now, that is a very, very strict opinion, and that is not the way our understanding of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai was, and therefore it's not kichananya. Not anymore, says, Keman Oz Lahod Tanya, what about the following brisa? Who does that go in accordance with? Irev Bishchorim, if a person went and stood in his spot, you can make the Mokum Shvisa by putting food there, or you can go stand there yourself. So he went and stood there with dark clothing, wearing Shchorim. So then he made his Erev there, he comes back to his house. The next day he wants to go beyond the Tchum that he now set up the new Tchum to go to. Lo yetzei b'levonim. He can't go out with wearing white clothing. He has to go out wearing the same exact black clothing that he went to the Tchum when the start of Shabbos was. He was wearing black clothing. If he wants to go beyond that point, he has to still wear that black clothing. So that's what the Braisa says. Ere b'shchorim lo yetzei b'levonim. B'levonim, if he made the Erev with wearing white clothing, lo yetzei b'shchorim. He can't go out with dark clothing. Now, come on, who does this go like? This is the opinion of Chananya that we just brought down, that you don't do it with food, but you do it with the clothing. Gemara says, and this is going in accord by Liba the Beis Shammai. The Gemara questions this. Ulachananya bishchorim hudlo yetzei. With shchorim he can't go out. Ha b'levonim yetzei. He's allowed to go out with white clothing. Ha omar achiyotzi mitoso klei tashmisha l'sham. He's even stricter than that. He has to bring out his bread and all of his clothing, his white and his dark clothing. So it's not chananya. Gemara says, you're right. Ha chikomar. Ire b'levonim, if you went and stood by the 2,000 amma distance, and that wants to make it your new Mokum Shvisa, and you went out there every Shabbos with white clothing, and now Behutzrach L'shchorim, and now you want to go out there with dark clothing, so you didn't have the dark clothing out there, according to Chananya, according to Beis Shammai, Ach b'levonim lo yetzi. Even though you're wearing the white clothing, you can't go out with the white clothing. Now the Gemara says, Kiman, who's this opinion like? Of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Chananya, this is the opinion of Chananya that says you have to go out with your bed and all your klei tashmishav, aliba the Beis Shammai. Again, this is all not lahalacha. Now we go back to the Mishnah. We said, Sumcha Somer B'chulin. Sumcha said, you can't go and use Truma, you must use Chulin. Shmur says, V'ilu l'nazir b'yayin lo polik. But when it came to discussions about the Nazir using wine, so Sumchas didn't say that the Nazir couldn't use wine. He only argued on the Truma, and he said that you can't use Truma unless you're a Kohen. Why didn't he also argue on the wine? He should have said, the Sumcha should have said that a Nazir can't go and make his Erev with wine. How come he didn't? My timer. So why didn't he argue on that as well? If his sheet is, it has to be something that's edible for you. So just like the Kohen can only make it on Truma, Yisrael can, so too. The Nazir shouldn't be able to make it on wine. Only a non-Nazir should be able to make it on wine. So the Gemara answers, no. Efsho demashil anezirusa. You know why he didn't argue on the wine? Because guess what? A person's a Nazir, so that's like a neder. And you can go do hataras nadar. You can be shoal on your neder. And therefore, since you could negate your neder that you're a Nazir, so if you wanted to, you could. So therefore, it's as if you did it. And therefore, the wine is acceptable. Where it says, wait a second, if that's true, so you can be shoal on the truma also. Iachi truma nami, efshar demitshal ilave. When a person separates truma, he does a freshest truma semaisos, he can go and be shoal on that. He can say, if I'd known something, I wouldn't have done this. And they say, hutalach, hutalach, hutalach. And therefore, his truma is ice truma. So just like you're saying, the Nazir could be shoal on his nazira, so therefore you can make an Erev with wine. So how come the Yisrael can't be shoal and make his Erev with Truma, because it could be shoal on the Truma? Why did Sumchas only say it's a problem with the Truma and not with the wine? Because if we can shoal on a Zeris, you can also be shoal on the Truma. So Gemara says, no. Imitshil Allah, if you were to go and be shoal on the Truma designation, okay, so it's ice Truma. Then what does it become? Hadro Latifla. It turns back into being Tevil. That doesn't do you any good. A regular person can't eat Truma, and a regular person can't eat Tevil. Even a Kohen can't eat Tevil. So therefore, that's why. Where it says, Nu velifrosh Allah mimokom acher. So guess what? He could still go and be mafrish on it from someplace else. Be shoel on this, so this will turn back into tevel, but now go and say, I'm being mafrish trumus and maisus on this, so I now have my Erev over here with no longer tevel, chulin, because there was mafrish trumus and maisus on it from another place. Why doesn't he do that? Where it says, Lo nechshedu chaver litrom shelo min amukav, because we wouldn't expect a Talmud Chacham, we're dealing here with Talmidei Chachamim, we wouldn't expect somebody to go and be mafrish trumas on things that aren't together. You're always supposed to be mafrish truma on things that are right next to each other, because you're concerned if you say, oh, I'm mafrish truma on this from the wheat that I have in my house. When you get back to the house, you might find the mice ate all the wheat. You might find there was a fire and your silo burned down. You have no wheat over there. So therefore, Talmud Chacham always is mafrish right here with what he has, min hamukaf it's called, from the food that's right next to it. So therefore, you mafrish the trumas right here, and this way you won't have a problem. That's why we don't say that he was mafrish it for, that he could turn it back into tevel and then be mafrish on it from someplace else. Shmuel says, okay, so v'lif rosh Allah minei obey. Why do you say he has to be mafrish for something else? He has this truma here, he's shoal on the truma, it turns back into tevel, and now he's mafrish trumas and maises from it again. So why can't he do that? Shmuel says, the less beishur, because there's not enough food here to be mafrish trumas and maisus, and still have the shtei sudos. Where it says, well, my pasco, well, why do you say that? Who says we didn't limit it? We didn't specify that we're dealing here with an exact amount, that you exactly have two sudos. And if you turn it back into tevel, and now you're going to take off mafrish trumas and maisus, you'll have less than two sudos. We didn't say anything like that. So therefore, that is not true. So we're back to our original question. How come Sumchas only argues on the case of the truma, but he doesn't argue on the case of the yayin? So Gemara says, Elasumcha Savalak Rabbanon, because Sumchas holds like the Rabbanon. What is that? This will be a machlokas we'll have between Rebbe and the Rabbanon a little bit later in the Masechta, a couple of days from now. The Amrei called Dover Shehumi Shum Shvus Gazru Olav Bein Hashma shows. The opinion of the Chachamim is that anything that the rabbi said you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, so they even instituted that Gezeira the Rabbanon, that Shvus, during the Bein Hashmashos period of time. Even though Bein Hashmashos is a suffix, they nevertheless instituted that you're not allowed to go and do certain things during the Bein Hashmashos time if you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to be mafrish trumas and maisos on Shabbos because it's besakin money. You're finishing off your utensil, so to say. You're making this edible. So therefore, that's a din de rabbanon. However, according to the Rabbanon, you're also not allowed to do this during the Bein HaShemashos. Now, Rebbe says you'd be allowed to do it during the Bein HaShemashos, but the opinion of the Chachamim, and Sumchas holds like the Chachamim, that you're not allowed to do it during the Bein HaShemashos. So here, if you were to be Shoel on the Truma, and go and return it back to its state of being Tevel, you wouldn't be allowed to go and be Mafrish Truma on itself, even right here, because it's the Bein HaShemashos period of time, and you're not allowed to be Mafrish Truma Sumaisus during the Bein HaShemashos period of time. That's what Sumchas differentiates between Truma and the Yayin of the Nazir. Now the Gemara asks, Kiman Ozlo Hadetnan, whose opinion is the following Mishnah going in accord with? Yesh Amru HaKol Lufi Mashu Adam. You go and look at an individual person. Every person, the Shiurim, are independent upon the individual person. That's what this Mishnah says. For example, when it says Melo Kumtso, when you're going to take a handful, the coin goes and takes the Kometz from the Mincha offering, so he takes it based on his hand. There isn't a set share, a Kizayis, a Revius, something like that. No, it's Melo Kumtso, how much he can scoop up in the three middle fingers of his hand. Right? You scrape away from the top of the thumb, you scrape away the bottom with the pinky, and that's left. It's called the Kometz, a handful. So it depends on the size of the person. If you have very big hands, so it's going to be a larger amount. If you have smaller hands, it's going to be a smaller amount. You look at the individual coin. Likewise, umlo chofna of kitoris, when the Kohen Gadol does the lefnai v'lefnim, we're coming up in Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol would go burn the incense, lefnai v'lefnim, in the Holy of Holies, so he would take umlo chofna, both of his handfuls. So if you're a large Kohen, you have a larger handful. If you're a smaller Kohen, you have a smaller handful. It's dependent upon the size of the individual Kohen. Likewise, v'ashosim umlo lugma b'yom kippurim, the amount that you're allowed to drink on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to drink anything on Yom Kippur, even chatzi shir zosim in the Torah, but the amount that you're chayiv a carbon for, if you go and drink on Yom Kippur, you'll be chayiv a chatas, is umlo lugma, a cheekful, to fill up your entire mouth. Obviously, if the person's bigger, so he's going to have a larger amount. If he's smaller, he's going to have a smaller amount. So the shiurim are dependent upon the size of the person. And likewise, ubimazon shtei sudos li'erev. You look at the amount of that individual person, what he would have for two sudos. So you look at it individually. And the Gemara says, Kiman, who is this like? So Amar Zera, Zera says, this is the opinion of Sumchus. Sumchus he. The Amar, my dechazile ba'inon. Because Sumchus says that you have to look at the individual person. Only a Kohen, for example, can eat Truma. So you look at the individual person. He can go and use Truma for his meals. But another person can't. And you see that this is Sumchus' opinion in this Mishnah, because he says, you look at the individual person, his two su'udos, for him, the size of him for two su'udos. And therefore, he's the opinion that says the Kohen only can make it on Truma. Where it says, Lema pliga the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Let us say that this Mishnah that we just brought down argues with Shimon ben Elazar, because Shimon ben Elazar said previously, we had the today's shear, the Tanya Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ma'arvin l'chola l'zokein k'dei mezono, that we take the smaller shear for a chola and a zokein, so that is in accord with this, k'dei mezono, so they eat smaller amounts, so that's in accord with what we just said is this Mishnah that Sumchus is the opinion of. But, Ularab also, we said, Besud de Beinu and Shukaladim, we said, a glutton, a big guy who eats 10 times the amount of a smaller person for shtei sudos, nevertheless, we still use the shtei sudos. So it looks like this Mishnah, which we said is Sumchus' opinion, that you go by the individual size, so Rosh Shimon Elazar seems to argue with that. There's a stira. So where he says, no. Tirguma achol of Azaki. No. Rosh Shimon Elazar agrees. The first part, the chol and the zaki, and they can use a smaller shear. You individualize the shear. Avol Rav Asan, but in the second part, the glutton, the person who has a tremendous amount, here we say Batla Daitzel and Sukolodam. Just because he happens to be a fresser, he eats a lot. A normal person, this is Shtei Sudos, that's enough. So if you're dealing with a smaller shear, like by the Chol or the Zokin, so then you look at the individual person. But a large person, just because he fresses a lot, that doesn't mean that the normal shear of Shtei Sudos shouldn't be used by a Beinoni, an average person. We quote the Mishnah, we said, Kohen Beis HaPras. We said a Kohen is even allowed to put his Erev inside a Beis HaPras. Again, a Beis HaPras is a field that had a kever in it, had a grave in it, and the field was plowed over. So we're not concerned anymore about Tumas Ohel. In order for a body to be Metami Tumas Ohel, Rachmano Litzlan, you need to have Atzomos and Bosar. You need to have the full parts of the body over there. You don't need the whole body, but you need significant parts of the body, including Bosar and Atzomos. So here, when you've plowed through this field, you're not going to have the basar there, but you will just have bones. So the bones can't be metame by Tumas Ohel, and therefore our only concern would be touching. So if a person walks through this field and he steps on the bones, So then he touches the bone, so then he would become tummy. So how come a kohen is allowed to go and put his Erev in the base of pras? A kohen's not allowed to walk over there. So what's the teretz? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel gives us the first teretz. This is the one that Rashi brought down in the Mishnah, if you remember I said. Menafeach odam beis hapras v'holeh. Because you can take some sort of a bellows, you take some sort of a blowing implement, and you blow the dirt in front of you, and it will blow the dirt away. And if you see any bones, you obviously won't step on the bones. And therefore, there's no problems. And therefore, you could be menafeach. You can blow in front of you, so you're not going to actually touch any bones. That's teretz number one. Rav Yehuda bar Ami, Mishmei Rav Yehuda Amar. Rav Yehuda bar Ami said, name Rav Yehuda, a different teretz. Beis HaPras Shenidash, if you have a lot of people stepping over here, so they're going to essentially destroy the bones, and they're not going to be the sides of an Etzem Kisora. They're going to be very, very small, and therefore they're not going to be metame, and therefore tar. You'll become tar, even if you do touch them. As Rashi points out, Shekvar Nitshu Atzamu Shabo, all the bones that may have been in this field, Nebuch, have been crushed, the Nifchasu Micha Sora, and they're going to be smaller now than a Sora barley corn. Gemara is quoting the Mishnah again, and it says, Rav Yehuda Omer Apes Akvaros, we have the sheet of Rav Yehuda that says you could even, a Kohen could go and put his Erev inside a cemetery, inside a Beis Akvaros. Gemara says, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, the reason why you can go and put your Erev inside a cemetery, the reasoning is because you can go and make a mechitza around you and the cemetery. The Kohen could get into the cemetery via the Lelech Bishida Teva Umigdol. He could go into the cemetery inside one of these containers, these large containers. They have to be more than 40 saw. They can hold more than 40 saw of water, and therefore they're very large. And as a result, they are not considered a keli, and therefore, if he's inside of them, he's going to be chotzeis, he'll be protected, he'll be partitioned from the tumah. And therefore, going inside the cemetery, inside this shida, teva, or migdal, will protect him from tumas ohel. So Gemara says, Rav Yehuda was the one that said this in our Mishnah, Kosavar, he holds, Oel Zoruk Shmeol. He holds that even though this is movable, this is portable, this Shida Teva Migdol, these containers that he's being carried in are movable, nevertheless, a Oel Zoruk, a movable, portable type of a container like this, can separate, it's considered a separate Oel, and it's not considered that it's Mahel over the cemetery. Oel Zoruk Shmei Oel. This Oel Zoruk, this movable, portable Oel, is considered an Oel to separate from the Tumah in the cemetery. And this is, in fact, a Machlokas. This is the opinion of Yehuda and our Mishnah, but Ubeplukse Dahani Tani. Yehuda is only going according to the opinion of one of the Tanoim that holds that an Oel Zoruk is Shmei Oel. The other Tana disagrees. The Tanya, this is a Braisa. Hanichnas Li'eretz Amim, the person who's a Kohen goes outside of Eretz Yisrael, so he's going to become Tameh, even if he's in a Shida, Teva, or Migdol, Rebbe's Matame. The opinion of Rebbe is that you're Tame, because he holds that this is an Ohel Zoruk. It's a movable platform, and therefore, a movable platform is not Mahel, and therefore, you're going to become Tame from Tumas Eretz Chutz La'aretz. Rebbe's Matame. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is Matar. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not, because he holds that an Ohel Zoruk Shmei Ohel. And that's what the Gemara says. But my Kamifli, what are they arguing about? Marasav, our Ohel Zoruk, Lav Shmei Ohel. The first opinion of Rabbi is that an Ohel Zoruk isn't going to be able to protect you. It's not going to be able to create a mechitza between you and the Chutz La'aretz, and therefore, you're going to become Tamei. And therefore, in the cemetery, the same thing as well. But Rav Yehuda holds like Rav Yosef. Umar Savar, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda holds Oel Zoruk Shmei Oel. In fact, this is able to protect you. It is able to protect you from the Eretz Amim, and it's also Rav Yehuda, the Tana here says, that's my opinion, it's able to protect the Kohen from being in the cemetery. Where it says, V'hod Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, but we learned in another Braisa that Rav Yehuda holds, we turn to the Yomar Aleph, Ma'arvin L'Kohen Torah B'Truma Torah, Bikever, he says that you are in fact allowed to go and have a Kohen go inside the cemetery and he will stay tar. How is he able to do that? Hechi Ozil. So the Gemara says, oh, this you see, Bishida, Teva, Migdol. He goes in there with the Shida, Teva, and Migdol. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here with this. We conclude today's shir.